This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, and I guess Shana Tova as well. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, welcome back. I hope you had a good break.
I did.
Unfortunately, not a great deal has changed since you left in terms of the news that we're reporting. I wish I could say something different, but unfortunately, much of the news and the latest developments are very, very similar to those that were happening before you departed on your holiday. But one of the interesting stories that has come out as one of the lessons of the current war is the fact that Israel has been contracting with local companies, the defense establishment have been contracting with local companies to produce heavy weaponry, heavy bombs in particular, locally. And we understand that the defense ministry has already established, one of the companies has already established a manufacturing plant for raw materials required to produce these heavy bombs, and that the deals overall across all of the different contracts that have been signed is worth something like $1 billion shekels, $275 million US dollars. This is what we're being told has been contracted already for the production of these heavy weaponry locally. And of course, the lesson that's been learned from the war is that we can't afford to rely upon even our allies for the supply of important heavy weaponry, heavy bombs in particular, because as we've seen, there are moments when even our allies feel it's appropriate to deny us or to delay the supply of weapons that we need urgently. And so Israel, although it has been had established a reputation for itself as being very, very independent in terms of technology and in terms of production, you know, some of our anti-missile systems, for example, have been produced locally and have really saved lives, particularly over the course of this war. And yet there are still some critical aspects of our defense, which we've relied upon our allies and others to supply us. And we are now regretting some of that reliance that has been placed on them. And as a result of that, lessons have been learned, and we are apparently going to go even more alone than has been the case before.
Well, that's generally the case, that during a war or a crisis like this, you learn lessons. There's very few that are so perfectly handled that you can walk away with nothing to be learned. It certainly is one of those, has been one of those lessons. And and it also means that you can't be reliant on which U.S. president is in office and what their current mood is towards Israel. That I would imagine. All very true.
And you also start to learn who your real friends are amongst those when you know the chips are down and you need real help. That's really when you start to learn who your real friends are. So it's been an interesting learning exercise, and lessons have been learned for sure.
The talks surrounding a possible hostage deal, that's apparently going on in Qatar. President Biden, we know, spoke to Netanyahu on the phone last night. It looks as though this time it's serious.
Well, yeah, I don't really know what to make of it, in all honesty. And there are lots and lots of questions and there are lots of doubts in my own mind. What we do know is that the talks have been ongoing in Qatar. We do know that Israel has taken this extremely seriously. They've sent the head of the Mossad, Dadi Barneir. They've sent the head of the Shin Bet, Ronen Bar. They've also sent a senior IDF officer who's responsible for hostage negotiations, Major General Nitzan Alon. they have all been sent to Qatar. So the delegation doesn't get a lot more senior than that in terms of trying to battle out the last few details. And from what we've gathered and from what's been leaked to the press, there are a lot of bits of this agreement which apparently are already well buttoned down. But the US administration over the past few weeks has said on a few different occasions that the reason why the deal hasn't been done yet is because of Hamas. They are the obstacles at the moment. And I don't know that anything has really changed since those statements were made. In other, there was a report that I saw which said that the Israeli delegation have been caught off guard by the extent to which Hamas is willing to be flexible at this stage. Now, I haven't seen that reinforced anywhere. That was just one article kind of on its own, and it didn't seem to have a lot of support. We also know that other senior U.S. officials, including the White House Middle East coordinator, Brett McGurk, and indeed also the incoming Middle East envoy who will serve in the Trump administration, Steve Witkoff, they've both been in the Middle East, and they've both been in Qatar. And in fact, Steve Witkoff was also in Israel over the weekend, meeting with the prime minister. And then he met with the prime minister of Qatar when he arrived there yesterday. So there's certainly senior US people trying to push this along. But I don't know who is calling the shots on the Hamas side. And ultimately, until that first hostage is released to Israel from Hamas, there is nothing to talk about. All of these negotiations and all of these dealings and all of Israel's promises to stop the war and to rebuild Gaza, there's been quite a detailed element that we discussed last week with Kathy about Israel, how Israel has put this together, that Israel will withdraw from certain critical parts of Gaza and will agree to stop the war and will agree to help further aid into Gaza and will agree to rebuild. There's a program of caravans and tents that will be sent to Gaza in the first stage in order to accommodate people and then afterwards to assist with the reconstruction of Gaza. So all of these things have been discussed in some detail. The one thing that we don't see yet is the release of a hostage. Mm. And until that happens, there is just no agreement of any sort. And effectively, the IDF is held in Gaza and will remain in Gaza until some agreement is reached, until some ultimate final situation is reached with regard to the 100 or so hostages who still remain there. I think the number, the official number now is 99 after two of the bodies were brought out last week. I think we have now 99 hostages and either dead or alive in Gaza. And until that matter is resolved, the war in Gaza has to continue. So this is all a very, very interesting situation. The other question in my mind is to what extent, you know, President-elect Trump's threat of all hell breaking loose has played a role in any of this, because it seems as though since he's made those threats, there's been a very significant uptick in the negotiations, and President Biden has been very personally involved and sent senior people to the Middle East, and there's been negotiations in Qatar and in Egypt, and there's been a lot of activity going on all the way around. And one kind of links it almost directly to President-elect Trump's threats of all hell breaking loose. But I'm not sure that that really is the catalyst. And I'm not really sure that there is still a deal to be done, as much as I hope that there will be a deal done. And of course, I'm looking forward to that moment when hostages will be returned home, dead or alive, however they will come. But we want them all to come home. But I still don't quite understand what the lever is that's being applied to Hamas that will make them decide now to release hostages, when up until now, more than 400 days have passed. And in fact, more specifically, 465 days have passed. And why today will they be willing to release those hostages when for 465 days they weren't?
Do we know if Hamas is actually at the negotiating table in Doha?
No, we don't. And we don't even know who is calling the shots in Hamas, who is making the final decisions. All of that seems to be under something of a cloud, some sort of a cloud of mystery. There was a report last week that said that Hamas have said they don't even really know where all of the hostages are. And this was really referring to the IDF's massive operation that's going on at the moment in the northern part of the Gaza Strip. And what Hamas has said is, as a result of this operation by the IDF, and they've lost track of where all of the hostages who were in northern Gaza, where they are. Now, again, I don't know whether this is a tactic or whether this has actually been the reality from day one, that they don't really know where all the hostages are because they seem to have been spirited off to different corners of Gaza. So I'm really not quite sure whether there is some sort of a central coordination going on with Hamas and whether they really do have some sort of a power to make these ultimate decisions and whether they know what's going on across the Gaza Strip or not. All of these, it's all a little bit of a mystery to us. We are not being exposed to the reality. I'm guessing that the Israeli negotiating team with the members of Mossad and the members of the Shin Bet, the most senior representative from those two organizations, I'm guessing that they've got a lot more intelligence about what in reality is going on in Gaza, and they can potentially make those decisions for themselves. But right now, there is no obvious place of power which is calling the shots and controlling the negotiations from Hamas side.
What about the Israel side? We know that Netanyahu has been under a lot of pressure from the far right element of his cabinet. Would you do you think that the having Trump behind him, Netanyahu, maybe pressurizing Israel as much as, or no, maybe not as much, but pressurizing Israel as well, gives him a greater greater confidence maybe to deal with his own cabinet and challenges?
Well, I think that Netanyahu is really coming under pressure not only from the right-wing elements of his cabinet, but indeed from the left-wing elements of society as well, and more particularly the hostage families. You know, I'm not necessarily associating them with the left wing of Israel, but I think that to some degree, the hostage families have found some comfort with the left wing, where they are saying, do a deal almost at any price, while the right wing are saying, don't do any deal, no matter what you're offered. So those are the two sort of conflicting sides of the story. An interesting piece that came out in the press, and again, I don't know how much of this I can really believe or not, but I'm just sharing it with listeners for them to draw their own conclusions. But there was an article in the press that said that already at the time of the first hostage release that took place last year, beginning of last year, that Netanyahu had already agreed to completely stop the war and to withdraw IDF from Gaza completely in exchange for the release of the hostages. So he'd effectively gone as far as he could at that time to give undertakings to Hamas in exchange for the release of the hostages. And yet the hostage release didn't go as far as he hoped it would go. So some hostages were clearly released, but not nearly enough of them. And some have since died. Since that release took place, some of them have died. We know that for sure. And so this article indicated that the accusations by the left side that he hasn't done enough to secure a deal are potentially not that accurate, that he really gave everything and the kitchen sink just in order to secure the release of the hostages. And even that wasn't enough. The right wing, I think, are a threat to him. I do think that support from Trump will be helpful to him, but I don't know that the right wing really care about Trump's support necessarily. But I think that when one looks at the way that things are balanced right now, I think he will get more support from the general population, from the from Israelis across the board, if somehow a hostage release is secured. Even though he might alienate the right-wing side of his cabinet.
Lebanon has elected a new president. What does this mean for Israel?
Yeah, Joseph Aoun was elected last week. Lebanon has been without a president for like more than 2 years. And finally, a president was elected last week under quite a lot of pressure from the US administration. And it's quite interesting that Amos Hochstein, who originally was appointed as an envoy by the Biden administration to Lebanon in order to resolve the oil and gas conflict that existed with Israel, because Amos Hochstein really comes from an oil and gas background. Amos has now been labeled as the godfather of the truce in Lebanon, because through the contacts that he made while negotiating the oil and gas arrangement, he obviously got to know people and he made contacts, and he used those contacts ultimately to broker the truce. And he was in Lebanon last week in order to try to convince, to push, to shove, to harry members of the Lebanese parliament to vote for Joseph Aoun, which was also the US's chosen candidate. That ultimately succeeded. And somehow, and I'm not really quite sure how this happened, but during the second vote, they somehow managed to secure the support of some of the Hezbollah members of the parliament who originally had not voted for him in the first round and somehow were convinced to vote for him in the second round. One wonders what deal was done in the background in order to secure their support, but it was secured. And the interesting thing now is that Joseph Aoun has said that his first trip as president of Lebanon will be to Saudi Arabia. They have become the new brokers in Lebanon and have replaced Iran as the masters and the controllers. So, and Saudi Arabia is now the new master over Lebanon, and that's where President Joseph Aoun will go for his first presidential visit. There is a lot to talk about in terms of developments in Lebanon. We'll hopefully pick some of that up tomorrow.
We will indeed. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, as always, with the Israel Report. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.